gracious Heavenly Father. How we are thankful to be here in Your presence, in Your house, able to open Your Word, be taught in a spiritual way by the Holy Spirit, how to function in Your spiritual kingdom, in which You are the boss, You and Jesus Christ. We are thankful for this time of year as we talk about the virgin birth. We are thankful for Jesus. All that He has provided for us and given us is deliverance from and to. We are thankful for that helmet of salvation, that helmet of deliverance. And also for the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We are thankful for the Holy Spirit that is in us, who gives us the Word and inspires the Word. We are thankful for the authority that the Word of God carries. When we are faced and standing in the midst of spiritual warfare, we thank You for saving us by Your grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We thank You for giving us a spiritual gift for which to function in and by. We are thankful for our unique tasks that have been given. We are thankful for that faith that has come from You, that gift of grace. Father, I pray this morning, as we continue talking about the weaponry, the armor of the soldier in Christ, that You will give us an open mind and heart. The Holy Spirit will be our teacher, teaching us that we are divinely enabled as we face temptation, as we face Satan and his demons. That we are to stand and not step back. We are to move forward. As we are in union, in obedience to God, and speak the Word of God in whatever situation we find ourselves in. We love You and we thank You so much for loving us. Be our teacher, for we are not afraid here. We are soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that You will give us this day more understanding of that weaponry. We ask this in Jesus' name. It is all to Your praise and all to Your glory and all to Your adoration and all to our maturity and likeness in Jesus Christ. We pray all these things. Amen. I want you to take the printout as we begin this morning. You'll notice Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Ephesians 6, 17. Verse 17 says, as we begin, and take the helmet of salvation. We know that that word salvation can also refer to the word deliverance. So He has given us the helmet of salvation that has to do with our mind here, and also a helmet of deliverance. And then we're going to talk about the remaining part of this verse, which has to do with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of the living God. We call that the B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Now, let's begin to look at the introduction as we begin. The devil. Underline devil. Stop there. Open up your ears and just listen. Because I have more notes that you don't have. So I want you to listen very closely. We're going to take an open shot here at the devil. The devil. The majority of Christians, according to Barnum, that takes polls among Christians, the majority of Christians do not believe that Satan or the devil actually exist. But up to 97% of evangelical Christians believe that angels exist. Secondly, Satan, the devil, is a created being. He has not always existed. He has a point of origin. He was created, brought into existence by God. So Satan, the devil, is a created being, created by God as God's most powerful angelic helper. So Satan is an angel who rebelled against God. Question, who is Satan? Satan was created by God as a cherub, the most powerful of God's angelic beings. What does Satan look like? In their heavenly state, according to the Bible, a cherub is a large creature, listen closely, up to 18 feet in height, with 8 foot long wings. You want to face the devil?
No.
You think you can handle this cherub all alone by yourself with human strength and human effort and human intellect? Do you see why you need the armor that God provides when you are in spiritual warfare? You are dealing with an enemy more powerful than you are, but not more powerful than God is. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God is everywhere present. God is all sufficient. So therefore the Bible says there is times that Satan is going to come at you like a roaring lion. Now you know this roaring lion may seem to be 18 feet in height. That can be kind of scary. But he comes only with a roar. He has no power. That has been taken away from him through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he certainly has strong influence. But I will also say, as many say today, many say the devil made me do it. The devil cannot make you do anything. But the devil can influence you to do something you choose to do according to what he has put in your mind. When he places lies and untruths in your mind, you're going to have to respond immediately. And immediately you need to say, this is not from God. This has come from Satan. Therefore, I am not going to pay any attention to it whatsoever. Satan is free to influence people without being discovered as the cause of many of their problems. Number two, Satan is a beautiful and powerful fallen angel who would like to do nothing more than take away the joy of Christians through deception and lead people into rebellion against God. And we're seeing that all over the world today. Number three, biblical prophecy indicates that Satan will deceive entire nations and kingdoms before he is relegated to eternal damnation in the lake of fire. Let's go back to the printout, the introduction. The devil knows, underline the word knows. What does he know, and when did he start knowing it? Well, we know that the devil appeared to Adam and Eve. Is that correct? And what did he do in the ear of Eve? He told her truths and untruths. Is that correct? He tried to make her think there's a lot out there that God is hiding from you, but yet it can be known to your benefit. If you'll just do what I tell you to do. So the devil has been working on humanity since Adam and Eve. The devil has game film on every human being. He knows how they will react to everything he confronts them with. Every influence, every lie, and every deception. So without the weaponry of God, Without us being able to speak the Word of God in a specific situation, in dealing with Satan in spiritual warfare, we are going to fail and we will not be victorious. It won't do any good for you and I to say, "Go away, Satan." Because you'll notice in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, we'll read in just a little bit. Every time Jesus answered a temptation from Satan, he quoted mostly out of Deuteronomy. He quoted mostly and all the time, not only out of Deuteronomy, but the Word of God. And he would say, "For it is written." The word "written" in the Greek language means it has been written and it is never going to change. It is non-negotiable. So what Jesus had to say to the devil, to Satan himself personally, stands written forever and will not change. And that tells me and it tells you that what Jesus said to Satan, we can use it today against Satan because it has not changed. The devil knows that if, underline the word if, and you might want to write your choice. It's your call. He will influence you, but he cannot make you do anything. So you can never ever blame what you do that is not right with God upon Satan. He influenced you. Instead of rejecting it, you let it lie and take root in your mind. And what lies and takes root in your mind will soon come through your physical body as an act. The devil knows that if, that's your choice, it's your call, he can seize, the word seize means take possession of your mind. Take your Bible once again. Please turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And let's see what God has to say about the mind of the Christian. Now I'm reading in the Amplified Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. "And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed." Allow your mind, and I'm adding here, but be transformed. In other words, your mindset must be determined and reshaped by the Word of the living God. Secondly, but it's not in the Amplified Bible, we must continue studying, learning, and growing in the Word of God. Now that you're a Christian, you have Jesus Christ in you. You have the Holy Spirit. You have God the Father. You've got it all in you. And if we allow our mindset to be determined and reshaped by the Word of God, then we're going to allow the person of Jesus Christ to step out of us, come through us, and in every situation we find ourselves, especially in spiritual warfare, that's the text that we're looking at this morning, it won't be you fighting Satan. It will be Jesus Christ in you fighting Satan. So therefore, that's why it is so important to have our mindset, and I'll say it again, determined and reshaped by the Word of God. When you get saved, your old mind won't do. Your old way of thinking about things won't do. Human viewpoint has no place in the kingdom of God. You are now called to live by divine viewpoint. Divine viewpoint is simply the Word of God being lived out in you and through you as you yield to the Holy Spirit of God that is in you. So the whole thing about Christianity is not what I'm doing, but what I have chosen God to do, what I want Him to do. So therefore, if I'm a Christian living by the Word of God, and the power of God is at work in my life, then it is though Jesus Christ steps out of my body. In whatever I find myself in, it is going to be Him that is responding. It is going to be Him that is acting. You're going to have the Beatitudes. They are going to be lived out. They are going to be worked out in your life. Because if someone comes to you and they are of big temper and have a lot of temper, they would like to kill you or do something to you that is not good, instead of retaliating, you're going to respond as Jesus would respond. Because you are allowing Jesus Christ to live His life in you and through you. Do you understand that? All right, now, let's continue reading. And do not be conformed to this world any longer. That's going to have to stop. You're in the kingdom of God now, with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively, that is progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification is you allowing the Holy Spirit to make you more like Christ each and every day in each and every situation of life. But be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the what? By the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, or what God wants in your life as a child of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, listen to this, in His plan. He has saved me. I'm not here to live the plan of Terry Davis. I'm not here to carry out the agenda of Terry Davis. I am here to be God's puppet. I am here for God to be my boss, my Lord, and my master. I am here for Him to live His life in me and through me, that He may be glorified and I may grow in maturity and I may grow in Christ's likeness. Okay? Let's go back. Here we go. Verse 3. For by the grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of himself and of his importance and ability than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has apportioned to each, that's each and every Christian, a unique task, a degree of faith, and a purpose designed for service. Now let's go back to the printout as we continue. The devil knows that if it's your choice, it's your call, he can seize, that is, take possession of your mind and fill it with what? Lies. Who is the devil? He came to steal, kill, and destroy. All right, let's go. He can then, underline the word then. The word then takes you back, and let's go back for a moment. The devil knows that if he can seize your mind, that's number one, and fill it with lies, he can then begin to operate from this lofty position that you have allowed him to take in your life as a child of God. You already know that you and I were born into sin. We were born a sinner. We were born with an old sin nature that began with Adam and Eve. Since we have an old sin nature in us, every human being has a sewer in him. And the old sin nature is producing all the sewage we will allow him to produce. Is that correct? So therefore, every day that God allows you to live, you are given a choice. Is there going to be sewage in your life, or is there going to be divine good in your life produced by the Holy Spirit in you, the yielded believer in union with Christ and obedient unto His word? Then begin to operate from this lofty position in your life that you have set Him in. He can try to manipulate. Underline the word manipulate. It means to control or operate by skilled use. Is Satan skilled? Is he more skilled than you and I?
Yes.
Is he more skilled than God is?
No.
No, he is not, okay? He can try to manipulate your emotions, send signals of sickness and disease into your body, and so on. To protect you from such attacks is the very reason God has given you, by an act of grace, the helmet of salvation or deliverance. Now, the fact that Paul likens our salvation to a helmet means that we must know all that our salvation includes inside and also outside. We must spend time studying what the Bible has to say about healing, about our deliverance from evil powers. Now, I'm going to ask you something as good old Baptist. Does God still heal?
Yes.
The answer is yes. Can God heal anyone he wants to?
Yes.
Yes. Also, about our deliverance from evil powers. Do evil powers exist?
Absolutely.
So they're not a figment of our imagination. Is that correct? About God's desire to bless. Does God want to bless you?
Yes.
Why does God want to bless you?
No.
So you can be a blessing to others because He loves you. If you allow God to bless you, if you live your life as an obedient child, yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, letting Him produce what is of God in you and through you, you are going to be a blessing. And God will be able to use you. He will be able to put you in places that you would not go yourself or even think about it. He is going to use you to bless people, sometimes that have never heard anything about the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ and the Word that He has given us. Isn't it nice that God can use you to be a blessing to other people? It is. About God's desire to bless and prosper. And prosper. Does God want to prosper you? Why does God want to prosper you? So you can take what He has prospered you with and share it with other people. Do we understand that?
Yes.
All right. Now, let's read on. And about the benefits of our redemption in our everyday lives. Here's a point, number one. Our intellectual comprehension of all that salvation encompasses. Stop there. How much do you know about spiritual salvation? How much do you know what God did through Jesus Christ to bring you forgiveness of sin? You should know that when Jesus died on the cross, He paid our sin debt in full. So therefore, there is no purgatory after you die. There is no further purging. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Our intellectual comprehension of all that salvation encompasses must be ingrained. Underline the word ingrained. It means firmly established. How much of your salvation is firmly established or ingrained or deeply rooted in your spiritual mind? When our minds are convinced of these realities, when our minds are trained and taught to think correctly in terms of our salvation, how many of you know, and you should know if you've been here, a lot of people say, I have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And we've talked about that. And that's good. You should, if you're going to be saved and receive eternal, everlasting life. But what does the Bible actually say? No man cometh unto who?
The Father.
The Father, except through the Son, Jesus Christ. So if you say, I have a relationship with Jesus, I hope you can take it further. That's your salvation. And say, I also have a relationship with the Father. So salvation is not only having a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's all about having a relationship with the Father also. And you must understand that. When our minds are convinced of these realities, these are spiritual realities you find in the Word of God. When our minds are trained by the Holy Spirit and taught to think correctly in terms of our salvation as given in the Bible, the Word of God, that solid knowledge becomes a helmet in our lives. At that point, it doesn't matter how hard the devil tries to hack away at our spiritual foundation. And he's doing that very well today. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt what Jesus' death and resurrection purchased for us. This knowledge has become a part of us, preventing the enemy from attacking our minds as he did in the past. That's how the full knowledge of our salvation puts a helmet on our heads. We finished that. Then let's begin to look at part B, verse 17. He says, take the helmet of salvation, part A, and here's part B. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, underline or circle sword of the Spirit, and I want you to listen to this. Why is the Word the sword of the Spirit? Why is the Word the sword of the Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit does what? Number one, He gives it. If you're in a situation, in context, spiritual warfare, some kind of adversity, something is taking place in your life, and you realize you need to speak the Word of God. What's a good thing to do as we're learning right here? Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be controlled, be influenced, be motivated by the Holy Spirit. So when you are in spiritual warfare, and you usually know when you're in it, you need to call upon the Holy Spirit. Give me the words of God that I have in me that I need to speak at this moment to this particular situation. He will give you the word. He will inspire that word. Remember, go away, Satan won't do it. He's just going to stand there and laugh at you. But when you begin to speak the Word of God, which is the authority of God, and you plead the blood of Jesus Christ, you are talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are saying, Satan, I know that you are broken. Your power is no good here. Everything you are throwing at me is useless. It is nothing but a bunch of lies. And I want you to know I stand here as a child of the living God, and I speak the Word of God to you, and I am not yielding, and I am not moving, and I'm going to stand here in trust and confidence in Jesus Christ. And therefore, I don't know how many verses you may have to speak, but you say, Holy Spirit, keep bringing to my mind the scriptures that I have in me, and I will speak it, and I will speak it, and I will speak it. And I'm going to tell you, Satan cannot overcome that. He cannot deal with that. It is a power he knows about, and he is scared to death of, and it shreds him to pieces, because the Word of God is the sword of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? Okay, thank you so much. Now, let's look below that. The Holy Spirit, below verse 17, wants to place. Underline the word wants. It means he wants to. Now, you know what that means, don't you? It means if he wants to, I should want him to. Amen. Right? This is something he wants to do. This is something God wants him to do. So therefore, Ephesians 5:18, right? Let me say it one more time. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, influenced, controlled, motivated by the Holy Spirit. Why do I need all the Holy Spirit can do? Because He wants me to have something that is going to be beneficial to me when I stand in the face of Satan in the midst of spiritual warfare. God wants His children to be victorious, not victims. Do we understand? Thank you. So the Holy Spirit wants to place, listen to this, not a dull sword, but a razor sharp sword in your hands. He's got it. He's ready to give it to you. The question is, will you take it right now as a child of God, and will you use it? Question. How would you like God to give you a weapon that can rip to shreds the devil's strategies against you? Call it a doomsday weapon for the devil and his demons. Well, that's exactly what he has done, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of the living God. Page 2, top of the page. You're going to look at that word sword. If you look it up in the Greek language, is makaria. Number 1, a word that struck fear in the minds of those who heard it. Why is Paul choosing this particular sword out of all the other swords that were used by the Roman soldiers? Listen, and you'll find out. A word that struck fear in the minds of those who heard it. This wasn't just a sword, but a weapon of murder. Does that bother you, soft Christians, a little bit? Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Is that sinking in? He won't hesitate to do that. When you deal with Satan in spiritual warfare, you've got to be dead serious. So serious that you want to kill him. I personally can't do it, even though I'm a Christian. But the Word of God can murder him. It can put him down. It can make him turn and not just walk, but run away. There are a lot of things going on in the lives of saved and unsaved people today. They don't know what it is. They don't know that Satan is having a heyday in their life. And so they get pills and they get medication. Sometimes it is something that's physical. But when Satan is working his game of deception and lies, when he's wanting to steal from you what is so valuable, your sanity, your understanding, sometimes your physical living, what do you need to do? Don't think it odd. Don't be embarrassed. Open your Bible and let the Bible do its surgical work on Satan. You have a doctor. His name is God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They have a scalpel. Brother, they have an instrument that can work on Satan in a way that you cannot do it. So therefore, the Word of God is absolutely essential. The Word of God is powerful. And you let God get a hold of the handle and that knife and go to work. And brother, He can remove everything the devil has put in your life, even as a child of God. Do you get it?
Amen.
Good. The sword was used. I'm going to go back. This is just too good. Second sentence. This wasn't just a sword, but a weapon of murder that caused the victim horrid pain. I don't want to slap him on the wrist. I don't want to slap him on the back and say, you need to go on. Satan needs to feel again and again the pain that the Word of God can cause, because he doesn't mind bringing pain into your life as a child of God.
Amen.
Do you see who you're dealing with?
Yeah.
Get in the Word. I know when we say that, some Baptists say, oh, Terry. No, it's not old Terry. Get out of the box. Let the Word of God do its work. There are a lot of people going through things they should not be going through by Satan because they're embarrassed to use the Word. They're scared to speak the Word. They're scared they might be labeled as something that
they're afraid of. You have been called by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation is in you. The power of God is in you. There's to be a renewing of the mind take place in you because you have now been placed in the kingdom of God. It is spiritual. The Word of God is spiritual. Christian living is nothing but spiritual. Brother, we function in a spiritual realm even though we live in a physical body, in a physical world. Are we getting this? Do you see how serious all of this is? There are so many, especially that are Christians, that are unnecessarily going through things and they're suffering. Families are being ripped apart. Churches are being ripped apart. You see on the news. You see on TV. Things in the world. All the confusion that is taking place. The liberal progressives. If they don't like something, just tear it down. Drag it down. Let me tell you something. Go back to the daycare you came out of. We need people of God. We need mature Christians out there. We need people who will stand up and say enough is enough and allow the Word of God to be the power of what we do. And prayer. This sword was used only in close combat. It was razor sharp on both sides of the blade. The tip of the sword turned upward. Sometimes it even twisted similar to a corkscrew. Pay close attention. Because the dagger-type sword was razor sharp, it could easily be thrust into the abdomen of an adversary, and if it had a corkscrew tip, the attacker could shred the insides of a victim by twisting the word. Why this particular sword? Because Jesus says, I'm not messing around. I'm not fooling around. This is how dangerous your adversary is. Brother, when the Word of God goes in, it does some awesome work in Satan.
Amen. You allow this Word of God and this sword to go to work, he'll think twice before he comes back in your territory. Because he felt the pain he doesn't feel from everybody. Make sense? If somebody whooped the dog out of you, would you go back to the same old boy?
No.
You say, man, I don't want to feel that again. Well, that's what God's telling you because this is a particular sword. Of all the swords that were used, this is the one Paul picked out. Kill him. Rip his insides out. If you don't, he'll rip yours out.
That's right.
Here Paul is saying that God has given the church of Jesus Christ a weapon that is frightful to the devil and his forces. Question, why is this weapon so horrific to the kingdom of darkness? Because it has the razor sharp power to slash our demonic forces to shreds. Turn, if you will, very quickly. I'm going to read it very quickly. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Here we go, Matthew chapter 4. Again, I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by who?
Spirit.
Not the devil.
No.
The devil didn't lead him in the wilderness. God allowed Jesus to be led in the wilderness because he wanted Jesus to face temptation. Is God going to let you face temptation?
Yes.
He did Jesus, didn't he? Okay, here we go. Then Jesus was led, not by the devil, but by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had gone without food for 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But Jesus replied, it is written. In other words, Satan, this isn't going to change. What is written is written. It will stay that way. It's non-negotiable. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones be turned to bread. But Jesus replied, it is written, and forever remains written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Here it is right here. You're holding it. This is what has come out of the mouth of God. Here we go.
But Jesus replied, verse 4 is written, and forever remains written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, not some of it, but all of it. That's why when somebody says, God just called me to preach feel-good messages, that's a lie.
Amen.
That's right. God calls you to preach everything from Genesis to the book of Revelation. Revelation Amen. Is not plural, it is singular. Then the devil took him, verse 5, into the holy city, Jerusalem, and placed him on the pinnacle, the highest point of the temple. And he said mockingly to him, you know, Jesus could have slapped that silly grin right off his face.
Yeah.
And he did.
That's right. On the cross.
On the cross.
Yes.
Slapped him silly, buddy. And he said mockingly to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to serve, care for, protect, and watch over you, and they will lift you up on their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, you got the formula now?
Yep.
You see, it's not what I say to Satan. You need to give back what Jesus said to Satan.
That's right.
Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, and forever remains written, you shall not test the Lord your God. Verse 8. Again the devil took him up on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory, splendor, magnificence, and excellence of them. You know what? In all reality, Jesus is God, and in eternity past, before anything was created or existed, he already saw this. Satan thinks he's really something, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he said, verse 9, and he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go away, Satan, for it is written, and forever remains written. Not going to change. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only.
Amen.
Non-negotiable. Not going to change. Why in the world of America, United States of America, are we letting all these different religions in?
Come on, man. Come on.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Okay? Thank you. Verse 11, then the devil left him, and angels came and ministered to him, bringing him food and serving him. You know what? I believe all this.
Amen.
And I believe when you do what Jesus says do, in confronting Satan in whatever situation you're in, then after it's over, you'll be ministered to. I believe that. Amen. Good. Well, let's wind it up back on your printout. The word is rhema. Isn't that amazing? Rhema. Which describes something that is spoken clearly and vividly in unmistakable terms. You see, when you speak the word of God, Satan won't have to say, now what was that? When you speak it with authority. Because you're speaking the word of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you let us know we don't need to be sissy Christians nor soft Christians. That the word of God is awesome. It is so powerful. When spoken from someone that is in Christ, in union with Him, trusting Him, placing confidence in Him, trusting the Word of God that is being spoken and not giving ground, and Satan senses there is no fear here in this child of God. So it is time for me and my boys to leave because I don't want to feel the ripping, shredding pain of God's Word anymore. Father, I pray you'll continue to embolden us and give us the courage that is needed to stand and face, not stand and run.
There's too many people that need help. There's a whole lot of people suffering from things that Satan is in charge of. Sending signals that we've already said of sickness and disease. It is high time we learn all about the salvation that Jesus died to give us. For I'm afraid we barely go below the surface of our salvation from God. Let's learn it all. Let's live it all to His glory and our growth in Jesus. Amen. Will you stand?